Welcome to AttorneyBusters.com. I am Gene Forty. We're going to have quite an interesting show today. We're going to have some updates on the Mr. Stephen Magritte story. And for you first-time listeners out there, let me give you this disclaimer up front. Number one, I am not an attorney. I do not provide you any legal advice or legal opinions. The information that I share with you on this program is developed from my own personal experiences and the reasons as to why I first created AttorneyBusters.com is because I ran into a good old boys club located over in the Monterey, California area that I decided that I was going to expose to the entire nation, and I'm actually using the Monterey judicial community almost as a poster child for judicial corruption. What I wanted to do was I wanted to put a word out, and I wanted to find out if there are other individuals across the country that experience the same type of problems that I did. And what I found is, of course there are. And how do these problems become created? Well, they become created from individuals being judges and attorneys now that actually think they can get away with anything they absolutely want inside of a courtroom. They think that they are the makers of our laws instead of the ones that are supposed to be there to try to help us to enforce the laws that we now have. And who sits alongside of these individuals in helping them get away with the nonsense they do in courtrooms is actually the mainstream media. Because the mainstream media does not expose the corruption that we have because they're all part of this unit and of this group that wants individuals in this country, that's being us, to think that everything is just fine. Now, this brings us to the story, and this is going to be quite a show today. I'm going to be playing several clips of an interview that I did with several individuals involving a man by the name of Stephen Magritte. And again, for the first-time listeners, Stephen Magritte, in a nutshell, is an individual that is located in Wisconsin. He is right now inside of a Dane County jail, awaiting sentencing to 70 years in prison. And he was tried under the USA Patriot Act by a special terrorist task force that was set up by the attorney general inside of the state of Wisconsin. And that attorney general is a man by the name of Mr. James Doyle. However, as of tomorrow, that being January the 6th, Mr. James Doyle will no longer be the Attorney General of Wisconsin. He is actually going to become the Governor of Wisconsin. And this segues just very briefly to one comment. If any of you individuals went to my website, AttorneyBusters.com, I told you some of the things we're going to be talking about today was, one, was a Mr. John Edwards, who is now announcing that he's going to run for the presidency. And I posed the question, do we need another attorney as president? Well, I'm going to show you that the quick pro quo answer to that is no. And I'm going to build this upon the basis of showing how an attorney general, Mr. James Doyle of Wisconsin, ran his campaign to become governor of Wisconsin based upon trying Mr. Stephen Magritte as a terrorist and used the publicity off of that he was tough on terrorism. And I'm going to pose a question to you individuals out there, and please, what is very important about this program today, I am a small program, I am a small voice out here right now, and I need for you people that are out there to listen to this program, all you folks out there to listen to this program, to contact the FBI if necessary, contact the police department, contact everybody that you know and tell them about this story that I'm going to share with you, how James Doyle has prosecuted a man for terrorism. Let me put this point forward to you. Since September 11th, I don't know of any individuals in the United States that have been tried as a terrorist. But Mr. Magritte has been tried as a terrorist, and he's online for 70 years. So my question I pose to you, if that is the case, why is this not front page news? I will tell you why this is not front page news. It's because when you really go into this story and you find out the things that I found out so far, you're going to find that this man is not a terrorist, but there's very, very suspicious activity by county officials in the area of Fredonia in the county of Ozaukee County in Wisconsin that essentially what these officials had done, they foreclosed upon Mr. Magwitz's properties because he did not pay approximately $22,000 to $30,000 in property taxes. They foreclosed upon his property, but instead of selling that property at a foreclosure sale, they turned it into a park. They're actually subdividing that property now to make part of it into some residential property, and they're talking about profits. Now, let me get to some of these interviews. One of the key players in this story involving Mr. Magwitz is a man by the name of Dennis Keneally, who is the corporate county counsel for Ozaukee County. Mr. Keneally had told me last week during an interview that, one, he never really classified Mr. Magwitz as being part of any group or any part of any what they call posse comitatus or group or terrorist group out there in Wisconsin. But I came across some letters that were given to me that were written and authored by Mr. Keneally, that these letters were sent to, essentially, the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions and also to John R. Evans, Chief Counsel of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. These letters contradicted what Mr. Keneally was telling me. Keneally was involved in telling people that this man was part of a posse comitatus group, but let me get into some of these clips, and we're going to play some of these, and this show is going to run very rapidly today. I'm not going to try to rush this. I will try to play as many clips as I can, but we have so much to go ahead and go through. It's mind-boggling, folks, but I will tell you, I've tried to do as good a job as I possibly could up to this date in trying to get a fair, balanced story about what really took place, because what we're going to find out is, I told you at the start of the program how media is complicit inside of covering up corruption. This is what happens. I'm going to play for you interviews that I did with the Ozaukee Press out in Ozaukee in the Wisconsin area that will show the press said outrageous things but never asked for an interview or never did an interview with Mr. Magwitz for his side of the story. This is AttorneyBusters.com. Sit right where you are. Listen to this program. You're going to love it. Thank you.
Who is the man that attorney said, we should do anything to get rid of this maniacal appearing gentleman? Who is the man that they called chameleon-like and volcanic? Who is the man an attorney once said in court, he's sophisticated, intelligent, and evil? Find out why corrupt attorneys fear him so. Listen to AttorneyBusters.com, hosted by Gene Forty, Sunday afternoons from 3 to 4.
Why AttorneyBusters.com? Attorneys are lying in the courtroom. Judges are letting them get away with it. Does anybody care? Gene Forty at AttorneyBusters.com does. He filed papers proving how a judge knowingly let attorneys lie in his courtroom. That very afternoon, that judge mysteriously retired 4 years early. Widespread judicial abuse can be stopped. For more information, call 888-211-6035 or log on to the website at attorneybusters.com. Who let the dogs out?
When Al Capone did it, it was called racketeering. When attorneys and judges work together, they call it the Good Old Boys Club. AttorneyBusters.com. What is it? Come listen to the program. Tell others about any problems you had with the judicial system. Tell them about that attorney that took your money and did nothing. Or tell them about that judge that looked the other way when you know your attorney did something wrong to you. AttorneyBusters.com on Sundays 3 to 4 with Gene Forty.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome back to AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene Forty. Now we're going to start running through a number of clips that I have and I've done with Mr. Keneally, the corporate counsel from Ozaukee County, also with Mr. Bill Shannon IV, the managing editor of the Osaki Press. We're going to talk and hear a clip from Ms. Sheckle Madras. We're going to hear a clip from Mr. Stephen Magritz. We're going to have clips from individuals in the area of Osaki County that want to remain anonymous because they fear reprisal from the local community. What this evolves around, simply smut and smear campaigns engineered by attorneys that when they get caught doing something, this attorney was able to call upon other individuals in that area, drop a dime, and you'll hear this comment, drop a dime on somebody to get this man brought up to another state investigation agency that causes this man now to be tried as a terrorist. Let's listen to an interview, a brief interview I did with Mr. Keneally after I had some questions about him not quite maybe being totally accurate in his statements to me last week about not referring to Mr. Magritz as some type of a group.
I have a letter that was directed to the director of the Wisconsin Department of, I guess, financial institutions.
Okay.
And I think there was another letter that was addressed to John R. Evans, chief counsel of the Wisconsin Department of Revenues. And these are on Office of the Corporation Counsel of Osaki County, and they were offered by you.
Sure, it could be.
Right.
Yeah, and but sure.
All right. And this says that, let's see, quote, basically, this idiot is a tax protester who refused to pay real estate taxes on his land. He is a militia posse comitatus member, whatever fits into this category. Now,
I don't remember that, but that would be the general category that I would put him in. I don't know that he's associated directly with them, but that's the status of type of people that we've had doing that. Now, what his actual category is, I don't know.
All right.
But that's a categorization of what the type of protests are.
All right. Well, the reason why I was confused about this, Mr. Keneally, is because before I thought you were very clear that you didn't feel that he was part of the militia or posse comitatus.
I don't know that he is, right.
All right. But why would you put this in that letter to this Wisconsin Department of Revenue? Is this something that you discussed with Sandy Williams out there, the district attorney?
I don't think I talked to her on that. I don't remember that. I don't think so.
Okay.
I was just categorizing the type of people we've dealt with in Wisconsin before that do that tax protest. That was posse comitatus, militia-type people. That's the general group.
Okay.
But whether he belongs to a particular one, I don't know. But it's a general grouping that we've had here for years and years, the posse comitatus, certain militia member groups. You know, whatever he is indirectly with them, I don't know. But general categorization of what the type of tactics and the protests kind of fall under that genre.
Did you get that so far? In other words, Mr. Keneally now is doing a little bit of doublespeak here, but that's all right. Let's see what he now has to say a little bit farther down inside. It's our next clip.
All right, but why would you put in your letter that he was a member of the militia posse comitatus?
Mr. Keneally. That was inaccurate language.
Okay.
That's all I could say.
Okay.
I don't know that he's a member of, and meant to say, if anything, it's a general on what they do.
All right.
And whether he is, I don't know. And I don't even know if they had a membership.
Did you have these other groups contact the district attorneys there, Sandy, and talk to her about this person?
I didn't. I can't direct them to contact anyone. I don't know who they contacted. You mean the Department of Financial
Institutions? Yeah, right.
I don't know if they contacted her.
Okay, so now we have Mr. Keneally saying, well, you know, maybe I just was inaccurate in calling this man a member of a posse comitatus group. Let me give you some statements from Mr. Bill Shannon, who is the managing editor of the Osaki Press, regarding how this was prosecuted by Mr. James Doyle.
The AG's office broke some relatively new ground in the Magritz case, in that they were using a special investigative division that had been set up, I think, shortly following September 11th. 2001, and you know, he was one of the first maybe five or six people, I believe, in the state to have their cases handled in this manner. So, you know, it was fairly interesting, I think, from a statewide perspective as well.
It's very interesting that how Mr. Doyle used this as one of his campaign bases to go ahead and become the now governor-elect of Wisconsin. Let's talk about some documents that have been missing from files and essentially what Mr. Keneally had to said about these documents being missing from court clerk files.
So no, they are never kept here and were never kept here. If anything, they were sent down to me to look at to say, what is this, and back within a day or so. So no, we don't keep any reports filed.
Now, for my new listeners, let me go ahead and tell you again what I had asked Mr. Keneally was. Mr. Magwitz had said that there were court files that were supposed to be in the court clerk's office that were not there. And they then found out that these files were actually at Mr. Keneally's office. Well, when I asked Mr. Keneally, how do court clerk files get in your office? He tells me, well, they're never here. But, as you heard, he then said also, well, if they're here, they only pass through for a day or so. Well, those documents are very important, and they shouldn't leave that office. Let's find out what Mr. Magritte says about these documents.
Sent copies of my affidavit of probable cause by a victim and witness of crime that was filed with the U.S. Attorney's Office, sent a copy of that to all of the supervisors. So they were well apprised of the concealment of my documents by Dennis Keneally, concealment from the court, falsification of documents with the court, tampering with the PE 500 that he refused to allow to be filed, concealing my claim with the county board. They were all advised of that, and so I think they're getting somewhat concerned. They know that there's fraud going on here, and it's big-time fraud, and it's like stepping in some quicksand. How do you get out of it?
Now, that was Mr. Stephen Magritte's, and to recap, what he was telling you was, essentially, the documents that he said kept on disappearing here were documents that were important to his case. And when he brought this to the attention of the counsels or to the supervisors there, they've ignored it. And he's sent claims to try to get this to be known. He's saying his property was stolen from him. This is what the man has been saying. Let's now find out that, first of all, I asked Mr. McKeeley if he had gone ahead and reported these activities to various groups and things of that nature. And he was saying, well, no, it really wasn't his job to report those things. But let's see what Mr. Bill Shannon says about this. He is the editor of the Osaki Press.
They definitely dropped the dime on him. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
I mean, I think Dennis Keneally probably told you as much, that he talked to state officials about that.
Do you have any more details about that at all as far as the state officials he spoke to?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You'd have to talk to him about that.
I got to talk to him about that. Now, does Mr. Keneally and Mr. Bill Shannon talk quite often? This is where Mr. Magwitz was concerned that essentially his side of the story was not being told. Well, when I talked to Mr. Bill Shannon, I asked Mr. Bill Shannon if these documents were missing from the court clerk's office, would that be a story that he'd be interested in reporting on? Let's listen to Mr. Shannon, and I want you to pay close attention to a pretty obvious gap in his waiting to respond to me about something.
Mr. Keneally said the documents of the court clerk's office, of the clerk of the court, mm-hmm. would not go over to his office, but then he stated that, well, if the files did come here, they'd only sit here for a day or so. It was so that I could go through the files to then tell the court clerk what should be filed or put in this file or miscellaneous or wherever. Would you think, as a reporter out there, do you think that that would be an interesting story for you to cover regarding an allegation by Magritte that the county corporate counsel was taking documents out of the court clerk's office?
It's hard for me. I mean, it sure would be an interesting story for me to look into. I would have to look into it to see what if that indeed was the case. I know that I can tell you this. I know the court files usually do not leave the clerk of court's office. They don't leave with lawyers, they don't leave with reporters, and they don't leave with the general public. The official court file stays in the clerk of court's office, and I would think that if they were leaving on a selective basis, that would indeed be something that would be story-worthy.
And you said usually. I mean, you don't have any knowledge of this thing happens before these court clerk files go out to people, do you?
No.
I just wanted to make sure that wasn't usual stuff, but did you notice that Mr. Shannon had a difficult time in thinking that would it be an interesting story to tell Mr. Magritte's side of it when Mr. Magritte has been trying to say that there's documents disappearing that essentially would have stopped his land from being foreclosed upon? Mr. Shannon says, well, I'll let you interpret it yourself. Let's find out. I'm now introducing you to a man by the name of Mr. Robert Brown, who is a founder of the Christian Civil Liberties Union, and he's gotten involved in the case back there somewhat to try to find out what has happened here. And let me tell you of a conversation that he told me that he had had with Mr. Shannon, who we just heard, said he would be interested in the story about these missing documents.
You had stated certain documents were not filed inside of the court clerk's file that should have been there that Mr. Magritte had sent to the court, correct?
Yes.
When you talked to Bill Shannon at the Osaki Press, did you inform him of your knowledge of that?
Yes, I did.
What did Mr. Bill Shannon say in response to that?
Well, he said that his time was limited and he would see me at the meeting. He did a story and it did not include those facts. And when I went to the meeting, he did not talk to me further.
Well, apparently Mr. Shannon didn't think it was really that important to investigate that type of information. Now, did he? Now, this was from Robert Brown. Now, let's talk about a little bit about Mr. Bill Shannon, who again is the Osaki Press. And please understand that when local media does not report both sides of a story, you have a situation where things can be smut and smeared up regarding individuals. Let me play a little bit of this clip starting into the commercial break about Mr. Shannon interviewing Mr. Magritte.
Mr. Keneally says that he talked to you once or a couple of times a month, giving you updates or you trying to find out information about what was taking place in the case.
Right.
Did you ever interview Magritte or his wife?
I'm thinking, and probably not. No, I did not. The Magritte's reacted pretty hostily to this whole situation with the county, and they were made themselves unavailable. They didn't return phone calls.
Really?
And then I didn't confront them. I followed them out of a public meeting, and I asked them for a comment. And the exchange was hostile.
Really?
So there was no comment given.
Do you think this Magritte was a violent type of person? I mean, what was your take on him?
No, he never impressed me as being violent. My dealings with him was that he was an obnoxious individual.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, he was an irksome person to deal with. He, he was rude. He shouted. His wife shouted. They physically try to be intimidating, I think, by talking very close to your face and yelling into your face. Did I find them physically scary? Not at all.
This is attorneybusters.com. We'll be back right in a minute. We'll see what Mr. Shiko says about this Mr. Shannon, about calling them or not. Attorneybusters.com. Stay tuned. This is a breaking story. Listen to it, America. It's very important. We can change America. And don't put an attorney in the president of office. Don't put an attorney as a governor of a state right now, Mr. James Doyle.
Save a place for me. Save a space for me. In your heart.
Every year, the United Negro College Fund helps thousands of students go to college. But for everyone we help, there's one we can't, not without the funds.
Save a place for me.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Save a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Call 1-800-332-UNCF.
A message from the Ad Council.
The lawyers are chasing the ambulances.
But who's chasing the lawyers?
You don't know how much these attorneys right now are digging into your pocketbook every single day. While you're sleeping, while you're awake,
you think they're actually representing your interests.
Attorneys commit crimes in litigation.
Those crimes are ignored.
There are laws on the books to protect you, but you know what? Those laws are not worth anything if attorneys will not prosecute cases against other attorneys.
It's Gene Forty and AttorneyBusters.com.
AttorneyBusters.com. I'm Gene Forty. In October 26, 2001, I submitted to the District Attorney's Office of Monterey County a request for an investigation of Judge Richard Silver. The reply was there was nothing they could do. On April 24th, I filed evidence in the morning at the Superior County Court of Monterey that implicates Judge Richard Silver, along with attorneys, in committing criminal conduct in Monterey County. That afternoon, Judge Richard Silver announced his retirement. Contact attorneybusters.com. Find out about the story that the local Monterey newspapers are too scared to report and are ignoring. Tell your friends in Monterey County to call in, listen to the program of attorneybusters.com Sunday between 3 and 4. This is attorneybusters.com.
All the little birdies on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet.
Rockin' Robin, rabbit, rockin' Robin, blow, 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 rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock tonight. Every little swallow, every chicken feet.
There's nothing wrong with reusing good material. So the next time you go shopping, buy stuff you can reuse. You create less waste, reduce pollution, and save energy and resources. Not to mention, come off sounding very cool. Buy smart, waste less, save more.
For more information, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Somebody once told me the world. Welcome to AttorneyBusters.com. We're back again. I am Gene Forty, and we're doing an exclusive expose on the Stephen Magritte story and how it involves James Doyle, the Attorney General, going into the governor's office tomorrow. And I believe that many presidents went ahead and stepped up to the presidency right through the governor's office. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to make any wild accusations as of this time directly about Mr. James Doyle, except I got to say that what's happened so far in his Attorney General's office regarding the prosecution of Mr. Stephen Magritte as a terrorist, but of course none of us Americans have heard about this man being prosecuted as a terrorist across newspapers. I mean, this would be a number one front page story. This is bigger than essentially Mr. Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Why isn't this story on the front page news? Because if you dig into it, you're going to find out some things that are going to shock you, and you're going to also find out we have an expose that we're looking at as how local media such as the Osaki Press gives one side of a story. Well, let's put it this way. You heard what Mr. Bill Shannon said, the managing editor there. Did he have an interview with Mr. Magritte? No. So now we have a man that said that he would find the issue of missing documents from a court file something he would be interested to look into, but we have an individual from the Civil Liberties Union, being the Christian Civil Liberties Union, telling about this, but Mr. Shannon doesn't look at it. So now, Mr. Shannon, and we just left before commercial break, says that he had left several phone calls for the Magrittes. This next clip, Mrs. Shieko Magritte, that is the wife of Mr. Magritte. Let's hear what she has to say about these phone messages.
Bill Shannon said he called your, he said you would not return phone calls. They left several messages for you.
I'm sure that he's making things up.
Making things up, that's a Japanese nice way of saying the man's probably lying.
Bill Shannon said that Steve was very intimidating, that when he goes to talk to somebody, he puts his face right up to the other person and shouts at them.
Not all the time. I witnessed him talk to Bill Shannon in the hallway one time. The General Taxation Committee member had a meeting. We always attended once a month after we got kicked out. Steve caught him in the hallway and talking to him. You know, he was talking loud, asking Bill Shannon to, why don't you call and ask the my side of a story before you print?
Yeah, folks, so now we find out Mr. Shannon did tell us about this, and he was wondering why Mr. Magritte was upset. Would you be upset if somebody was calling you a terrorist when your property was being stolen by county supervisors, at least in Mr. Magritte's mind? Let's listen to a clip about Mr. Magritte talking about Mr. Keneally and Mr. Shannon about their communications.
It's William F. Shannon IV, a sonny, who was writing all these terrible articles about me, evidently getting all his misinformation from Dennis Keneally. But they had all my documents, and I asked them to substantiate their claims, these militia claims and anti-government claims. He said, give me one...
What he was saying was, give me one shred of evidence that this has been done, and he did not do this. This was what I asked Mr. Shannon now. I said, well, let me ask you, do you think what you had done was a smut campaign, according to Mr. Magritz? Let's hear what Mr. Shannon says.
Done nothing but slanderous articles about him.
Right.
You defamed him, and you committed this smut and smear campaign
sure.
against him about speaking to him,
sure.
about interviewing him about
sure.
what was his side of the story.
Right.
What's your response to that?
I think it's a bunch of garbage.
We have Mr. Shannon saying that he thinks what Mr. Magritz is saying is a bunch of garbage. Well, I don't know. Mr. Shannon didn't talk to Mr. Magritz. I think any individual would be a little bit upset that he didn't have another side of a story. I contacted an individual also out there in Osaka, and I talked to this person. This person did not want her name used on the program. I think you'll be interested in what she had to say about this.
Do you think that the local newspaper, the Osaka Press, attempted to smut and smear the Magritzes in order to give them the stench of being a terrorist at that time?
I believe that they had their hand in it, yes.
This goes back to the Osaka Press, correct? There was nothing positive in any way, shape, or form, or anything putting out what Mr. Magritz was saying about his side of the story. This is Mr. Bill Shane again, talking about essentially what he thought was important for the public to also understand about what was taking place in the Magritz's case.
I feel about this case because it is very easy to, I think the public, there would have been public outcry in this county if the public were convinced that the Magritz's and the Magritz's were treated wrongly and treated criminally by the county and had their land taken away. And that's because this story is very compelling. The county took someone's land, and then a committee made a decision to keep the land for the county's use, and as you talked about before, and probably to use it as parkland.
Right. It doesn't sound good so far.
It doesn't sound good. It doesn't pass the Smith test. It doesn't pass any test.
Right.
Except for the fact that the Magritzes have been ruthless in how they've worked through this process. They have indeed used the process incorrectly to attack county officials in an odd way. That fact is not in dispute. I mean, they filed bogus bankruptcy proceedings.
What this Mr. Bill Shane is referring to, he's saying, well, gee, these Magritzes were ruthless. From the information that I've looked at and that I've seen and that I've followed, the Magritzes have not been ruthless. What they have been trying to do is they've been trying to fight as hard as they possibly can in trying to get these individuals to realize that they had claims upon this property. They actually offered to pay the taxes on this property. They filed documents that would show their claim at the court clerk's office, but those documents disappeared. I'm not saying that Mr. Keneally took documents from those files, but I will tell you this. Those documents should have never left the court clerk's office. Because once they leave that court clerk's office, what could happen to them? People with interests could remove document. Let's go on to this next clip here a little bit.
The reason why you'd like to have your name withheld, is it because you fear reprisal from people out there?
Well, I live in the community,
mm-hmm.
and I guess maybe in a way that is, I'm not afraid to stand up for the truth, but I don't need trouble either.
This is an issue that a lot of people have right now. There are so many injustices taking place in our judicial system. Everyone fears reprisal. My own attorneys, when they're representing me here in a civil case in Monterey, said they had to throw me to the lions in order to save themselves, even though they knew that the judges were manipulating trial dates and sabotaging motions. I asked this individual that wanted to remain nameless what she thought of the Magritzes. Let's hear what she has to say.
I believe Mr. Magritz believes in freedom, I mean biblical freedom, and Mrs. Magritz has been a very good friend of mine, and I consider her to be a very godly woman.
Now, should we discount everything that this woman has told me, essentially because she's a friend of the Magritzes? Well, you know, individuals are allowed to have friends, and when I spoke to this individual that wants to remain nameless, I can't tell you essentially where she works, but I will tell you this. She seems like a very nice person. She's not a radical. and she is a professional. So this is another side of the story. Let's turn to this issue of what was the issue truly about this Mr. Magritz that owned 62 acres of beautiful land that bordered a park that the city essentially wanted? Did they want this park? Well, did they want this ground? Well, you know, they foreclosed upon it. There's about $30,000 owed on it. They didn't put it up for sale, but they kept the property themselves. Let's hear what this individual says about that.
Do you feel that the issue about what the county was doing there was essentially they wanted that property to turn into parkland?
Oh, most definitely. It's right adjacent to the park property, and it would be ideal for them to expand. They're now talking of parceling it out, though, and making 9 acres to be sold with the house, because it is such a beautiful home that they were talking about selling the home with 9 acres and then using the rest of the acreage for the park.
Let's see what this next clip has to say.
What would be the strongest point to defend the Magritzes? What would it be?
Well, I think here's a couple that, according to biblical standards, understands that a man's property should not be taxed. Now, whether you agree or disagree with that, I don't think is the issue. The issue is, if this property had been seized by the county, which it was, there are statutes in the state of Wisconsin which state that this property should be sold, the amount of taxes due should be taken from that, and it should be returned. The balance of the amount that the property is sold for should be returned to the Magritz. That is not happening. This land is being stolen away from the Magritzes. And unless people stand up and speak out, nothing is ever going to change.
That was the individual that wanted to remain anonymous. It says essentially it's very clear to a number of individuals out there in Osaki area that this ground was essentially being stolen from the Magritzes. Why weren't these individuals simply allowed to pay fair taxes on the property? They filed certain documents to go ahead and show their claims. Yes, I understand that Mr. Magritz at worst could be possibly a tax protester, but even a tax protester, once taxes are paid from a sale on the property, he should get the balance of those proceeds. And this property, from what I can see so far, is worth somewhere between $600,000 to $900,000. We're going to be taking a short break, and we'll be back. This is Gene 40. This is AttorneyBusters.com. I've got dozens of clips, but I can't play them all. Pay attention, folks. I want you to call the FBI on James Doyle. Direct attention to this. Stay tuned. Be back. AttorneyBusters.com.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
Welcome back to AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene 40. We're going to try to play a few more clips. Let me recap what we found out so far. We found out essentially that, number one, there have been documents at times that should have not left the court clerk's office, and they did. They ended up at the opposing counsel or the corporate counsel's office of Mr. Dennis Keneally. The local newspaper there, when questioned about this, said, well, they would find that interesting and they would report on that. But we have a report from another individual saying that he told the newspaper about this and they didn't didn't go ahead and say anything about it. The next thing we have is we have the individual from the newspaper saying that even though he's called this man a terrorist and a paper terrorist, he never did any interviews with this individual. It's not sounding good, and that all of this story revolves around Mr. James Doyle in the Attorney General's office prior to becoming the governor-elect of Wisconsin. Let's hear another clip here regarding this individual that I believe wanted, of course, to remain anonymous about something that's happened to her.
I have notarized the documents for Mr. Magritz, and I did have the Department of Justice at my door wanting to question me, and then I was trailed into the city by two cars.
Well, so now we have a Department of Justice coming on there to question a notary public because the documents that Mr. Magritz was sending to these county officials notifying him of his claims on his property, notifying him that he wanted to have a hearing on the matter, that they were ignoring, these documents were sending to these county supervisors via notary public. It was these documents which ultimately led to Mr. Magritz being termed a paper terrorist by Attorney General James Doyle and set them up to one be swatted out of their house. Let's hear this next clip. This is Shieko Magritz.
Did people come out to evict you from the property?
5 minutes before 7 o'clock in the morning. SWAT team, yes, with our all camos, clothing, the mask and everything, with a machine gun and the pistols and the stuff. Combat truck was there. Right. And our drive was 3/10 of miles to the public road. That was filled with the people was not only these people, but the police officer and other people, bunch of people.
Did that scare you?
Well, that was, when you get gun pointed at you and handcuffed and the chain, yes, I was concerned.
Did they break down your door to get into your house?
Yes, they came from the patio door, was locked, and drapery was drawn yet because early in the morning, but they must have some tool because we just heard a popping sound and then the door popped open. Well, when they came in, they all lined up and just like a room to room. Some stood, some kneeled down, and they pointed all of us, to us, gun and machine gun pointed at us, and get down on the floor, get down on the floor.
Did they put a gun to Stephen's head?
Of course.
Did they put a gun to your head?
Of course.
Did they then handcuff you?
After we were down on the floor, actually Stephen was thrown down on the floor, but I didn't because I told him I have a neck injury, so would you be careful?
Okay.
So I guess they didn't throw me down on the floor. But when we are laying on the floor, face down, they handcuffed me, and then I saw Stephen being handcuffed also.
Okay, so essentially they threw Stephen down on the floor, and then
right.
You laid down on the floor voluntarily.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did Stephen try to put up a fight when they were throwing him down
on
the floor?
No, I don't think so. He was more concerned about my neck, so leave alone. He's saying to them, take it easy, handling me because of my neck injury.
Well, at least we have a SWAT team with a heart from the Attorney General's office out there in Wisconsin. They were concerned about her neck. This one final clip, we'll just go into it.
You told Mr. Dennis Keneally that you informed him that Shieko, Mrs. Magritz, would be possibly needing to file some legal papers regarding the matter of this foreclosure and the proceeding that just took place, correct?
Right.
And what was Mr. Keneally's response to that?
He said he'll put her in jail just like her husband if she files any legal papers.
Did he add anything more to that?
No.
Did you feel that Mr. Keneally was saying that in a way to try to intimidate you also from not getting involved in the case?
Yes, I did.
That was Mr. Robert Brown of the Christian Civil Liberties Union recanting a conversation that he had with Mr. Dennis Keneally when he informed Mr. Keneally that Mrs. Magritz was planning on filing some other legal documents regarding the matter of Mr. Magritz. And what he was told? He was told that she would be put in jail also. I hope you're getting the gist of this story, because essentially what's happening is Mr. Keneally sought an injunction from the court and was granted it to stop Mr. Magritz from filing any more documents that could go ahead and defend himself. Mrs. Shieko Magritz, why she's doing this?
All I can say is no matter what happens, if you believe in something, you must do it, because we have such a short life on this earth. And if you are constantly compromised without standing on your own feet, you regret in all areas. So, for instance, Steve Magritz, he believed all his heart. When something like this terrible thing happens, but you don't feel devastated because you are still believe what you did is right. If you did something you don't believe it, you'll be crushed. So although you have to pay for the things a person stands for it, but I think you can live with your own conscience, you know, if you are standing for principles.
That was Mrs. Shiko Madgris. She was born in Japan. She is Japanese. She is here in America. And that, I think, is pretty well put. Now, I have not been able to play all the clips for you, but I think, hopefully, you've got a gist of what's going on. And I think if you've ever taken the time, let's do the same thing that Mr. Shannon said that Mr. Keneally did was, he said that Mr. Keneally dropped a dime on the Magritses. Well, you know what? All of you individuals out there listening to this program today, take the minutes, call up the FBI and tell them you want them to investigate the Steve Magritz case. You want them to investigate Attorney General James Doyle, or now the governor of Wisconsin, James Doyle, tomorrow. Let's turn the heat up on these issues out there in Wisconsin so that this stuff does not happen to you. I don't care, as this one individual said, if you want to believe this man was a tax protester, he may be that, but he is entitled to his beliefs. Even a tax protester is allowed to bring his issues to the court and have them addressed. This was not done, and you cannot do it when you have attorneys out there and media people involved in a smut and smear campaign, because essentially, that's why I think what's going on. That's what's going on. Contact attorneybusters.com on our website and find out more information about this and give us some support here, because we've got to get this story out. It is a major, major story, and you people listening to this program are getting the first parts of it. Now, I got my cue for It's My Party, and I'm going to run into this It's My Party. Well, you know, I started this program again to try to expose to the public the problems that we're having out there in our country today. And it starts with judges allowing attorneys to lie or to hide documents or to take documents from files. It involves media people, such as an example, the local media here in Monterey, California. Do you realize that I've been on a radio program now for over a year and a half? I've had hundreds of people stand with me in support of me here in the Monterey area, and the local Monterey newspapers and the local media, the TV stations, have not said one word about it. One word about it. Well, I guess they decided not to try to smut and smear me because they know that I have a little bit more ability right now in my hands by holding this microphone than what Mr. Magritz did. But when Mr. Magritz didn't have the opportunity to have anybody voice what his side of the story was, you know what happens? He gets put in jail as a paper terrorist. And again, a quick summary of the program. Why is it if this man has been prosecuted under a special task force set up by the Attorney General after the 911 issue, why is it not on national news? Now, I'm going to wrap up by telling you, stay tuned next week. We're going to have a special guest in our program, Mrs. Catherine Cryer of the Cryer Report from CNN and Cryer Communications. Catherine is a ex-judge. She is an attorney. She has a new book out on the New York best-selling list called The Case Against Lawyers. It's a riveting book. You're going to love the book. You're going to love talking to her. Give a call into the program next week. We're going to have Catherine Cryer on our show. She's been interviewed now. Let's see. She's been interviewed on The O'Reilly Factor, Larry King Live, The Today Show, and now she's actually stepped up to truly the big time, the voice of rationale and wisdom and truth in America. She's going to be on attorneybusters.com. Attorneybusters.com is growing. I need your support. I need your help. Please, please, let's do something to address this issue of Mr. Magritz out there. Let's just have it investigated. I'm not saying the man is totally innocent, but I'm telling you one thing, he is not guilty of the things that they've said this man has gone ahead and done. I would question very much what Mr. Keneally has done so far to date. I mean, you know, the questions I got answered from him didn't make sense. And in my life, I think I know when somebody's kind of like giving me a snow job. This has been attorneybusters.com. This is Gene 40. Contact the website. We're going to give away some complimentary free CDs about the Magritz story. Contact the website. Get these CDs. Make copies of them. Just spread them out for me like wildfire across the country. Let's take down this issue in Wisconsin. Thank you. Attorneybusters.com. Have a wonderful Sunday. Gene 40. Come back again, huh? If you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go. That's right. Get the world, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no. Hit the road there, James Doyle, possibly, huh? Not looking good, buddy. What you say? Thank you.